And how many of you would like to have a pictorial family directory? Let me see your hands. Okay, that means that you need to go up and have your picture made. We're in the process of doing that. B. Jack Wilson is our photographer, and he set a room up upstairs. If you'll just, as soon as you go out of the auditorium, make an immediate right, go up the stairs, and you'll see the room in front of you when you reach the top of the stairs. Don Evanstad is our printer, and let me say that I have learned since I've been here at Woodland Oaks that we're not really noted for getting things done rapidly, but if we continue on the pace that we have for the last 2 weeks, it's going to take us 5 months to get just the pictures made. So there are individuals who are being contacted each week requesting that you be prepared when you come Sunday morning. Please try to honor that request, and if you would be gracious enough to do so, even though you have not been contacted, if you can go up and have your picture made, it will expedite matters exceedingly. And if you could do that today, that would be great to be able to do that. I suggested to B-Jack that for everybody who had their picture made by a certain time, they would get a free one, and everybody else paid $50 for one. But he's a better guy than I am. So, but we do ask you for your cooperation in this matter. Also, we have a ladies' prayer time today for the children and young people going back to school today, and you'll see that in your bulletin. One more little plug, and I'll get on my lesson. Next Sunday morning, I will begin teaching the book of Romans here in the auditorium, and I would suggest to you that if you have a person that you're concerned about that's not a Christian, it would be a really good time for you to bring them to church with you and come to class with them. So just a little word to you in that regard. You have been given in your bulletin a handout sheet for deacons. And we have some men who are poised at the back of the auditorium as I speak. We want not each family to have one of these nomination forms. We want each individual member to have one. And so if you don't have one, would you please raise your hand? And we have men who are coming down the aisles who will supply you with one. You are encouraged to participate in this. That we have men who have actually been doing the work of deacons. We have men who are well qualified, and they deserve you to take the time to put their name in as a nomination to be considered for deacons. So I would ask you and request of you that you please fill out a sheet if you know of men that you feel are qualified to serve this congregation as deacons, and turn that in, and the information will be there. The deadline is on in your bulletin. I think it's the 19th of next month, I think, for the deadline. So if you'll fill that in and turn it in very prayerfully between now and then. Our lesson this morning is going to be on the work of deacons. And handing out this sheet, something in me said, well, we really need to have the qualifications of deacons, and I think that's what everybody expected this morning, but I wanted to preach the work of deacons first. And so I'm going to ask you to bring your little form back tonight with you, because you might want to make some notes. We're going to look at the qualifications of deacons tonight. But I'd like to have some words to say about the work of deacons. And you're asked to pray every day as you consider submitting the names of men to become special servants for this church. The term deacon, first of all, comes, as you know, from a Greek word, diakonos, and it's a word somewhat like baptism. The word baptism is generally, in most translations, is not translated. It's transliterated. It is taken from the Greek word baptizein, and an English word that sounds like it is made from it. And so it's not really a translation. It is a transliteration. And so we have to talk about what baptism means. If it was truly to be, if someone truly did tell the meaning of it and translate it, then they would say immersion or dipping. But we just took the word from the Greek and brought it over into the English and made a word that sound like it. Well, we've done the same thing with deacon, diakonos. And the word means a servant. But it's another one of those word pictures. The etymology of the word is really neat. As you know, I get a real kick out of breaking the Greek words down and seeing what they literally mean. And it comes from two words, diakonos, from two words that when you put them together, you scratch your head and say, what's this all about? Dia is the first Greek word, and it means through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, through. And konos means dust. Now, what does through and dust, how do you get deacon out of that? Well, you have to smile a little bit because it means to raise dust by hastening. In other words, if you see a deacon, you see a cloud of dust around him because he's working. And that's where it originally came from. And it probably was first applied to a person who was a runner. And when you would see a runner, he's raising a cloud of dust. And so it's kind of humorous to see that. It always, in all the places that you see it, is used of someone who is executing the commands of others. That's what a deacon is. Someone who's carrying out orders. He has something that he's doing, and with the etymology of the word, he's doing it with such vigor that it's raising dust. So that's our deacon. And the term in its verb and noun forms is found 71 times in the New Testament. It's used in two ways. First, it's used by far the majority of the times. It's used in a general or an informal sense. It's translated something like the servant of or the minister of. For instance, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, that's your word diakonos, and give his life a ransom for many. And so Jesus Christ was a servant. He was a diakonos. Romans 15:25, Paul will say, now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. Romans 16:1, a Christian sister is referred to. I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. And so here was a lady who was serving the church. She was in the service of the church. And so the very vast majority of times, that's the way the word is used in the New Testament. But there are three times that this word is used in an official sense. The first one I would point out to you is Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. And interestingly, in this verse, the word is used both in a general sense and in the specific sense of an appointed office. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants, and there's your general sense, of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers, or the bishops, and deacons. And so the church at Philippi, he's addressing this letter to all the saints, and then he specifically denotes to the elders or the overseers and the deacons at the church at Philippi. And then it's used again in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, and then again in verse 13 in the context of the qualifications which we'll be looking at tonight. In verse 8 it says, deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere. Verse 13 says, a deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children, his household well. These two contexts show that obviously the work of a deacon is to be used in more than one sense. One in a general sense in which we're all servants. And that's the most common way it's used in the New Testament. But then there's another sense in which it is an appointed office or work or ministry having met certain requirements. Let's talk about the work of a deacon. And I noted I hope you've read the little article in the front by now. Someone kind of tongue-in-cheek said that deacons are kind of like, they're treated kind of like the third verse in a fourth verse song. And maybe you have to be a member of the Church of Christ to understand that. I don't know. But, you know, if I was going to write a verse for a song, I would not want it to be the third verse, because a lot of us don't know what the third verse says, do we? We've sung songs all our life, and we don't know what the third verse says. But this may surprise you, but there's no specific teaching in the New Testament regarding the duties of deacons, as there is of elders. Their work, their ministry, is derived from, number one, the meaning of the word itself, a servant. It's derived from the language that is used in listing their qualifications, which we'll look at tonight. And then it's also, the work of a deacon is derived from examples, if in fact such examples exist in the New Testament. In a nutshell, a deacon is one who is given task to be accomplished to assist the church in its mission. That's what a deacon is for. Someone who's been given a specific ministry or task and is assigned that responsibility to carry it out on behalf of the church. And that opens a wide range of activities. And if you'd like to open your Bibles to the scripture reading that Nathan read a few moments ago, Acts chapter 6, I would invite you to turn there. Acts chapter 6. This is in the early days, obviously, of the church in Jerusalem. Until chapter 7, the church is confined to Jerusalem. When, you know, in chapter 7, you'll have the first Christian martyr and Christians will be scattered. Then all the Christians are right here. And they're learning what it's like to be a part of this new kingdom, this church that has been established. And there are lots of things that are happening. There's lots of excitement that's going on in Jerusalem as the church comes out of the ground. In those days, I'm in Acts 6:1, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews, or the Hellenists, among them complained against the Aramaic-speaking community, or the Hebrew community, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So, there's the problem. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. So it has long been assumed that these were the first deacons. These were the original deacons. And the word is, by the way, used 3 times in this text, the word diakonos. But it's never used specifically to denote a deacon. In the New International Version, in verse 1, it uses the word distribution, in the distribution of the food. In verse 2, it uses the word wait on tables. And then in verse 4, it uses the word ministry. The King James will use the word in verse 1, ministration, verse 2, serve, and verse 4, ministry. Those are all from the same root word, to serve, diakonos, someone who serves. Now, these 7 men were never designated as deacons. The Bible doesn't say these are deacons. It does use these words in conjunction with what they were to be doing. And so, I don't know that they were officially called deacons, because you would have deacons in this case without elders were that to be the case. And that is the case in some religious groups today, that the deacons actually, there's a board of deacons that really functions more like elders than they do deacons. But I'm a little bit reluctant to say that these were deacons, but I'm not reluctant to say that these were at least the forerunners of deacons that will come to be an official ministry within the church upcoming here. There are many similarities between what these men were called on to do and what deacons in the early church and in the church today are to do, and we'll look at some of those in our next lesson tonight. Over a period of years, things tend to evolve into something different than the original. Have you noticed that? It's kind of that way with job descriptions sometimes. That job descriptions over a period of time tend to change, and generally they deteriorate rather than get better. But there's a problem because of that. And I was trying to think of a way to illustrate it, and the only things I can think of are just country ways, okay? Because I'm just a country boy. But if you were going to cut 15 boards the same length, and you cut a board, and then you use the board that you just cut as the pattern for the next board, and then you use the board that you just cut as the pattern for the next board, all the way to 15, what do you think the odds are that that 15th board would be the same length as that first one? Probably fairly slim, wouldn't you say? And so in order to keep that from happening, what do you do? Well, you use the same board as the standard for all 15 of those boards you want to cut, right? Well, that's what we're involved in doing here at Woodland Oaks Church of Christ. We want to go back to the original pattern. And every time we want to go back to that original and use that as a standard rather than what my mom and my daddy did. Now, I'm not dissing your mom and your daddy or your grandpa or your preacher or whatever, but they're not the standard. And whatever they did is not the standard. The standard is God's Word, and that's what we go back to. And so every time when we're involved, as we look at our lives and we launch into something, we want to go back to the original pattern. We want to go back and see what they did, what the Bible has to say about it, and so that's exactly what we're doing in these lessons. Someone has sagely observed, maybe sarcastically observed, today, preachers do the work of elders. Elders do the work of deacons. Deacons do the work of members, and members sit in the pew. That's funny, right? Maybe not so funny. Because there, at least in some places, there's some truth in that. Being a deacon is often a very frustrating job, as is any job with responsibility. And I would say particularly, as is any job with responsibility that involves you serving, directing, managing other people. People are problems. There's always problems associated whenever you're trying to get something done with people. And part of that maybe, I think, works to our favor. Because we learn some things, don't we? It's hard to get something done in the church, by the way. You don't hold anybody's paycheck. And so it's hard to motivate people. It's easier to motivate people for physical things than it is spiritual things. And people do some really interesting things to motivate people. And being a deacon is really a pretty frustrating job for several reasons. Some of the reasons are because some are named as a deacon and don't have a job to do. That's not a good thing. Because you can't feel good about it if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. Or they're given a job generally, but there's not a very good job description. And so they're not really quite sure what they're supposed to be doing. Secondly, some don't fit the job that they've been given to do. The personality doesn't fit it. And so it's a constant source of friction and frustration to them as well as the people that they're trying to serve. And then thirdly, some are given a responsibility, but they're not given the authority to carry it out. And if you want to really kill a good man, you give him a job, but you give him a responsibility, but you don't give him the authority associated with it to carry that job out. And make him have to come back and come back and come back and come back, and he's going to get tired. And say, hey, why don't you get somebody else to do this? If you want me to do a job, give me a job to do. Tell me what that job is. Give me the resources and the authority to do that, and then let me do that job. And so that's what we want to do, and that's what we encourage ourselves, the mindset that we that we want to have about deacons here in this congregation. And if you flip those things over, these are three requirements for job satisfaction anywhere, whether it's in the church or anywhere else. That you give somebody a job, a responsibility, that you give them a clear job description about what that is, and you give them the resources and the authority to take care of getting that job done, and then let them do that job. Deacons are not junior elders. However, every deacon, because of his qualifications, has the potential to become an elder. He's on that path, or he can be on that path. In some cases, I have a really good friend that he and I go back to my very first preaching responsibility back many, many years ago, and we've become really, really good friends over the years, and he's now retired from as a university educator. And he told me one time, I was approaching him about becoming a deacon first and then later in life about becoming an elder. And he said, Ken, he said, let me tell you how I feel about that. And I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you this happens sometimes because of the way we view deacons. He said, anything that the elders or you ask me to do, I'll do it. Just don't give me a title. Now, why would he say that? Because there is something sometimes about getting a title that moves your work out of volunteering to it's your responsibility. And some folks don't like it that way. And I can even understand that. We don't ever want to get ourselves in a position where we're not enjoying what we're doing. Now, sometimes we're called on to do some things that we don't enjoy doing. But we don't have to stay in something that we don't enjoy doing or we feel like that we don't fit. You've heard the little poem or the little thing that somebody wrote about, if you're a duck, fly. So not everybody's a duck and not everybody can fly. There are some people that are squirrels and there are some people that are this and this and this. And some people climb trees well and they don't fly well. And some people swim well and others don't swim well. And so we want to fit that ministry to the person who has that responsibility. It's frustrating to try to accomplish something in the Lord's church, getting men to lead in the assembly, Bible class teachers, visitation, cleanup crews, benevolence, evangelism, planning the work of church events and so forth. And we could go on and on. And there are some people that we really, really owe a debt of gratitude to. This frustration that comes sometimes can destroy your attitude if you allow it to. And here's a passage I want to remind us of. And somebody says, you're not painting a really good picture of deacons. Well, actually, I do want to. But I also want us to, before we put our hand to the plow, count the cost. And it be a labor of love. And know that there will be some times of frustration and difficulty. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul is giving instructions to the Christian family in general here. And he talks about wives, husbands, children, fathers. And then something that was a part of the first century family that's not a part in the same way today is slaves. And so he's going to say to slaves, obey your masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. He says, the service that you do as a servant, I want you to lift it up to a higher level than many people do. Many people will work hard if they think that the boss is watching them or there's a chance that the boss is going to walk in. But whenever he's out of town or whenever he's not there, then their level of performance goes down. He said, I want to give you some motivation that will motivate you whether your superior is there or whether he's not. He said, have reverence. Do it out of sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. And then he says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And I would say that to deacons. And I would say that to every Christian. I would say that to elders. I say that and remind myself of that. It is the Lord Christ that I am serving. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. And He's the one that's going to reward you. This frustration that comes with responsibility, if you'll allow it, can really create problems in your life, and you can experience burnout, and you need to constantly remind yourself that you're serving the Lord. Deacons are servants, and by very nature, it is a thankless job. Whenever I was a kid on the football team, for 2 or 3 years, I was the center on the football team. You know when the center gets recognition? Yeah, when something goes wrong. And that's about the only time he gets recognition. Well, I hate to say that, but it's kind of like that being a deacon. As long as everything's going smoothly, you just kind of get taken for granted. But let something go wrong, you know, somebody's not, you know, we don't have a song later, or we don't have this, or we don't have this, or we don't have this. Let something go wrong, and everybody starts looking, okay, who dropped the ball here? Who dropped the ball here? Let me address one other myth. Some Christians believe, quote, elders are over the spiritual and deacons are over the physical. I don't find that in the Bible. I find instances where that's true. But I don't find that as a blanket truth. It is true that elders' concern and effort should primarily be with the congregation's spiritual welfare. But that does not mean that they do not have responsibilities over physical things. And deacons can certainly be responsible in areas dealing with spiritual matters as well as physical matters. Deacons are the heartbeat of the church. If you really want to get down to it, they represent the truest picture of what Christianity is. Servanthood. That's what it's all about. That's what serving Christ and serving His people is all about. Deacons set the stage for the well-being of the congregation. If they're dissatisfied and idle and complaining, then the church is struggling. If they're happy and supportive and encouraging and enthusiastic, the church prospers. Deacons must be supportive of elders, preachers, and every work and program of the church and ministry of the church. They should certainly attend every assembly and participate in the church's work as an example to others. You cannot maintain a strong church without strong deacons who serve willingly and gladly. You know, I guess of all the people in the church, preachers get the most credit when things go well. And that's a shame. Because it's not really the preacher that makes things work. The preacher has a role. And it is obviously a public role. And people see him frequently. But if a church is really functioning and serving the Lord and serving one another and serving the community, preacher plays a really small part in the overall picture. The deacons play a really, really large part in the work of the church. Perhaps more than anything else, it's the deacon's influence that determines where a church goes and what happens to the church and what kind of peace and harmony there is in the church. If you want to really feel the pulse of a congregation, look at its deacons. That's where the heartbeat is. I have a special feeling and appreciation for those who accept responsibility in any form in the church. And more importantly, the Lord has a special word of blessing for deacons who serve well. In 1 Timothy 3:13, at the conclusion of the scripture outlining deacons' qualifications, it says, "Those who have served, deaconed well, gain an excellent standing and great assurance And that word assurance is confidence, cheerful courage in their faith in Christ Jesus. It's a special thing to serve the Lord and the Lord's people as a deacon. And I hope that there's a large number of men in this family that are willing to step up and do that, because there are a large number of things that need attention as this congregation grows. And I also hope that every single member of this congregation will participate in this. Because for one thing, there are a number of men who deserve you to acknowledge the work that they're doing among us. And as you prayerfully look at the scriptures and you put those over the life of men that you know in this congregation, I hope that you'll be serious about this for the next week or 2 weeks until you turn in your form of people that you believe, men that you believe fit the qualifications to serve this congregation. Now, you'll notice on the form that you are not required to go to that person and ask them. There's a group of people who will do that. But this is not a popularity contest, okay? This is looking for men who want to accept the responsibility in this special way of working and serving the Lord. The Lord's church is a living body, and every single member has a function. And I really do hope that you are currently serving in a role that you feel good about. And if you're not, I hope that you will set it as a goal in your life to not rest until you find a work, a ministry in this church that you can feel good about serving in. Because there are plenty of things to be done. There are lots of places to be filled. Some of them other people haven't thought about. Ways to reach out in our community, ways to serve this church. And if there's something on your heart, I hope that you'll go to the elders and say, hey, I think this is something that really needs to be done. This is a great time to do that during this time when we're selecting men to serve the congregation as deacons. If you're not a part of God's body, don't leave this place until you're a Christian. You can become one today if you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and you're willing to confess Him before men. He said, I'll confess you before my Father if you'll confess me before men. And that means a constant life profession. And you're immersed into Christ to have your sins washed away, then He adds you to His church. You can be a Christian today. And if as a Christian you've not been functioning, it's time for you to step up. And if you need the prayers of brothers and sisters for encouragement to do that, then why don't you please do that while we stand and sing.